is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Needs No Introduction, fresh ideas from speakers of note. I'm Victoria Fenner. Today's program comes from Ryerson University in Toronto. The Students' Union at Ryerson and the TTC Writers set up a debate between mayoral candidates John Tory and Olivia Chow. But the debate never happened.
My name is Jesse Root. I'm the Vice President of Education at the Ryerson Students' Union, and we got news at 2 p.m. this afternoon that John Tory would not be attending, and the reason he gave was because of competing campaign priorities in this new phase of the election. What we believe is that this is a way for him to cop out last minute, and we're very frustrated and disappointed because of all the planning that went into this, as well as to have another candidate in the debate would have made for a better debate.
Right. So then how long ago did you book him?
Over a month ago. At the end of the day, this is the only transit debate, that has a student focus. And I think that it's an indicator that his policies aren't solid and certainly not attractive to students and general TTC riders, and he isn't attending for those reasons.
Okay, so I guess Olivia gets the whole floor tonight.
She does. Yep.
Instead, it ended up being a single candidate talk by Olivia Chow. Here she is, followed by a selection of questions from the audience.
Thank you for coming out tonight in the rain, especially those who have mobility issues. Thank you for coming out because public transit is so important to our lives. And it is important to talk to the riders themselves because ultimately that's what's most important, you. And it's really unfortunate that my colleagues, Mr. Tory, are not here. And I'll leave it for you to judge as to why he didn't show up. My vision is to have a comprehensive transit plan that moves people faster, cheaper, and better now. And to do so, I will listen to experts. Mr. Tory won't. I will, and Mr. Ford won't either. I will make sure that it includes all mode of transportation, whether it's LRTs and subways and buses and wheeltrans and electrifying the goal, all mode of transportation. Of course, you know, if we're talking about public transit and transport, we of course bikes and cars and all of that too, but transit, all modes. And thirdly, I have a comprehensive plan that are costed out and would have immediate improvement now. Because I think it's important to act now rather than waiting for 10 years from now. So my plan does that. And lastly, my plan is fully costed out so that I am honest with you. If we are to have improved public transit service, we have to pay for it. Because Mr. Tory won't do that. Mr. Ford won't do that. They talk a big scheme, but they won't pay. So it's important that we be honest with each other. So that is my vision, and ultimately that this system needs to be 100% accessible so that whether it's the subway stations or the streetcars, all the streetcars, not just some new ones, the buses, all of that, especially subway stations, it needs to be accessible. So that's my vision of public transit. And I would love to here and go into each of the area so that we can explore deeper on how to move everything forward.
Is there one priority, though? Is there one top priority in your plan?
Top priority, which is immediate, well, because we need all of those things, right? Top priority is the buses because 6 out of 10 people take bus as part of the trip. And in some of the areas that are, you call priority areas, they have no choice. They don't have subways, they don't have LRTs. And a lot of them don't have cars, they can't afford cars. And the only way they travel is through buses. And if you improve bus services immediately, they will get better services immediately. Under Mr. Ford, what you've seen is is the TDC budget got cut. As a result, your fares have gone up. But you're packed with packed like sardines in subways and buses and streetcars. And that's just not good enough. And so I think that would be my top priority. But I think it's important to get the construction underway with these LRTs. We've spent years studying them. And all the studies are done. Let's just go for it. Let's get them built now.
That dovetails nicely with the second question, which is that the TCC has recently recommended service increases so that we can get 10 minutes or better service on all routes all day. I take it you support that plan.
Yes.
And you've talked a little bit about how you would increase service now through your bus plan. Is that enough, though? Is that enough to deal with some of the bunching and sardine issues we have on transit these days?
Sardine impact? No, it is not. In fact, the TDC report has multi-layered. The TDC report talks about immediate improvement of bus services, whether it's the 10 minutes or the entering streetcars from the middle door. It talks about more services during off-peak period and more services during peak period. And all of that needs to be supported by more buses, new ones. We have to repair the old ones, and we also need to build a new garage, and that costs money. Okay. That's why I built it into the platform that I have, that you have to have more capital budget. The $15 million that I want to spend on the TDC operating budget is only for buses, and it's only operating. I need to do a lot more. And I think one of the reasons why Mr. Tory won't show up tonight is because his plan wants you to wait for 10 years before any improvement, and that's not good enough. People cannot wait 10 years before getting better bus services, better public transit service.
Let me just follow up one more question. I'm going to hog the time right now. Why do you think the transit debate has become a debate about larger schemes as opposed to a debate about what we can do now to fix issues?
Well, seems to happen during elections time. Remember 4 years ago, we have this subways. Mr. Ford ran around like his hair's on fire and talked about subways. And he relied on this fantastic scheme that somehow your tax won't have to go up and somehow the money will materialize and subways will be built. Well, we know what happened. 4 years, nothing happened. Instead, things got bogged down. The Scarborough LRT got stopped. Had he not stopped it, the Scarborough LRT would have been built by next year, been finished before Pan Am arrived. So we lost 4 years already. We cannot allow four more years of wasted time. And yes, let me tell you, it is really nice to have a new name, a new scheme, draw some lines on the map, make sure it's good colored, call it some fancy name. And yes, that might get some votes, but folks, you and I know, TDC riders know, at the end of the day, it is transit expert that really should plan public transit together with you, the riders. That's most important. So my plan is practical. It listens to experts. It's fully costed out. It may not be as sexy. It may not be as colorful. I did actually put it in a map because other people have map. Mine's not very colorful, but I'm using TDC's materials and Metrolink materials. So what it does is that immediate improvement of buses. Okay, there's some buses here. It builds the light rapid transit. You know, we've already asked Bombardier to start building these trains, okay? And so it's the Egerton-Cawstown, the Scarborough one, the Shepherd, and the Finch. And also, it would start to do the study on the Young Subway Relief Line. Okay? So it's a comprehensive plan. Mr. Tory and Mr. Ford are leaving people behind. Because if you look at his map, it's too bad he's not here to show you his map. You can see it on ads and flyers, right? You will notice his map is missing the Finch LRT. So the entire quadrant of people in the Northwest will be left behind. His also does not have the Shepherd LRT. Those people will be left behind. His also does not have the the Scarborough LRT. So the students at Centennial College will be left behind. And his doesn't have the Young Subway Relief Line. So I think in elections, it's always very tempting to come up with new plan, new scheme. None of this is new. It just moves people faster. And it's cheaper, and it's a better plan.
You talked a little bit about underserviced areas. What is your plan to bring new transit routes to Etobicoke and Finch West?
Thank you for that question. Because right now, if you live in Etobicoke, Rexdale, or in Jane Finch area, it takes an hour and a half to get somewhere. A bus from here, from, say, Humber College, to the subway stations, you know, it takes 45 minutes one way. 45 minutes one way. If it's really rush hour, it's worse. Okay? Whereas once you build this Finch LRT, you save at least 15 to 20 minutes one way. That's half an hour a day that you can save within 4 to 5 years. All the studies have been done. The environmental assessments have been done. Please, we need to build it now. The construction work should go now, to start now, because then jobs can be created for this whole area. And if we can say to these companies that built this light rail, if they can hire some young people, create some apprenticeship programs, you know what that means? That means jobs. That means hope in the neighborhood. That's what we need in those underserviced areas. I'll be honest, that's a low-income area. Okay? When we talk about 29% of children living in poverty, a good percentage of them are racialized community, and they live in those neighborhoods. They're being left behind. That's what's so sad about this campaign. That's what's so sad, the people being left behind. How are they going to travel? So in this area again, Scarborough, Malvern, the initial part two of Transit City is for the lines that would come to Centennial College and then go up north into Scarborough, Malvern, including going up to Scarborough U of T campus into the Sioux area. That whole area, the Scarborough-Malvern area, is underserved. It takes them like an hour plus to get anywhere from there. Again, only buses. Yes, we can electrify GO, we can do all those things, but we need the light rapid transit. We've fallen behind Calgary, Vancouver, Ottawa, and Edmonton. Let's get that shuffle in the ground. Let's get the construction started. It's ready to go.
When David Miller proposed Transit City, he talked about serving those underserved areas, and he talked about transit as a social justice issue.
Absolutely.
Is that the way, do you see that as well, or how come it's not articulated in that way?
Of course that's what it is. It is a social justice issue. It is an issue of fairness. It's an issue of who's being left behind. It's an issue of whose voice are not heard. It's an issue where the mom are being left behind with the stroller because the buses are too full. It's an issue where the light rapid transit, if it doesn't get built, then nothing will be done for 10, 15 years. And what do people do? They are packed in the buses. And they're spending an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours waiting and, you know, taking and being left behind. And that's what's so frustrating in this campaign. Both Mr. Ford and Mr. Tory insist on their own scheme. Mr. Ford talks about subways. Mr. Tory talks about tracks. At the end of the day, it's new stuff, you know, stuff that are not planned by experts. It's just not good enough. And it is, of course, it's a social justice because, you know, who lives in Scarborough, Melvin? Who lives in Jane and Finch? We know it's the when we talk about kids living in poverty, almost one out of three kids living in poverty, that's many of those areas are within that quadrant.
Let's talk about Scarborough, and let's talk about the Scarborough subway, because I think a lot of people in that area
yes.
would support the Scarborough subway, mm-hmm. at least if we believe what we read. How do you respond to claims that putting LRT in Scarborough is treating residents there like second-class citizens? This is something that Mr. Ford has talked about in the past. How do you respond to that?
Respect means immediate improvement. Scarborough residents deserve better public transit now. And they deserve a light rail that can be built, the construction can start now. It can be done in 4 and 5 years. It is longer, it has 7 stops. It travels much further. It carries more people. It is cheaper. It's in fact $1.6 billion cheaper. And in terms of the property tax base, it's $1 billion cheaper. The Scarborough subway, no environmental assessment yet, no engineering studies, nothing whatsoever have been done. Nothing. And the contract we have now with Bombardier, we have been torn up. We don't know how much it will cost us. The master agreement with Metrolinx, we have to be torn up. Okay? So I think in this election, I have the courage to step forward and say that we need to do the right thing. Perhaps it cost me some votes, okay? But I can't face myself and say that just because I want some of your votes, that I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, but it's not the truth. I have the courage to say to you that the Scarborough LRT is the better way to go.
What do you say with regards to the LRT and when the service is not working for the citizens that are living in the Scarborough area, when the electricity is down and then the breakdown continually happens?
Okay, let me answer the question. Mr. Ford have said things that is unbelievable. Mr. Ford said that somehow the LRT is like Sinclair. Well, no. Sinclair is a streetcar. Light rapid transit is totally different. That's a train. It's a light rail. Mr. Ford said, it will break down in winter. Well, it does not. You know why? Because Calgary, which I can't show it to you, Calgary through the C trains, Edmonton, have had light rail for years. Tell me, is Edmonton and Calgary and Ottawa colder than Toronto? Yes. Do they have problems? No. Now, the Scarborough RT, the old one, is really old. It breaks down. That's why we need to retire that RT now. Not 10 years from now. We need to retire it and have the new thing. Okay, I happen those in my front. This is the semen. We bombarded. Oh, man, this is so beautiful. You should see it, the C train. And it is spectacular. It's more than technology. It's all over the world. World-class city use world-class transit, and that's light rail, and they're everywhere. And then on top of that, Mr. Ford, and maybe even Mr. Tory, I don't know, said, oh, it's going to take some car lanes. You're going to get stuck in traffic longer. Well, no, because the light rail has its two lanes by itself. It has its right of way. So if the existing road is four lanes, it's going to get six lanes. Two of the lanes is for the LRT. No cars will lose their space because of LRT. On top of that, because the buses don't need to run on this anymore, on these roads, because we now have an LRT, the traffic is going to be even better because... I'm talking about the Scarborough LRT. The Scarborough LRT is not like Sinclair. Mr. Ford kept saying, it's like Sinclair. It's not. It has its own lane. The road is going to be widened, two extra lane, so the Scarborough LRT will have its own right-of-way. Just like GO Train had its right-of-way. Just like when you look at the subway from Wilson to Downsville, it's above ground. Oh my gosh, it's above ground. Right? It has its own lane. Okay? That's what LRT is about. It's not a streetcar. So do not believe, and anyone tell you, that it's going to take traffic lanes? No. That it will break down in winter? No. That it is inferior? No. Absolutely not. It's superior. It's better technology, and it works. And we are behind. Good question.
There will be an opportunity for questions from the audience members after our, I guess we can call this a one-on-one interview.
Dialogue.
Continuing on, folks, the next section deals with fares and affordability. Fare hike, fare freeze, or fare reduction. As mayor, what's your plan to keep fares affordable, especially for low-income people?
Fare freeze. It is really unfair that the TDC fares have gone up so many times while the service have declined. But let's get to the bottom of the problem. Before 1998, the province of Ontario paid 50% of the operating cost of TDC. They walked away. So we must bring the provincial government back in to help us out. Because, yes, we need to do that. So the way to go forward is, number one, let's work with the province so that we can have more operating costs. Let us increase the budget of TDC rather than cutting it. Let us make sure that we build the right transit so we don't end up subsidizing routes that end up being heavily subsidized. If we built the Scarborough subway, for example, it will be $35 million a year of subsidy every year because they wouldn't have enough people, riders on it. So let's make smart decision on that. So in terms of fares, I believe it should be kept frozen.
And you think that the province will be amenable to increasing their portion of the...
I want to point out to the provincial government that people from regional areas, whether it's Vaughan, Markham, or Mississauga, Pickering, they are coming to work downtown, which is great. They're coming for our facility, taking public transit, taking TDC. So TDC is a regional service too. So there's no reason why it's only paid for by the local taxpayer. That's why it's important that the provincial government needs to also contribute to the operating costs of public transit. That has always been my position from day one after the Conservative Mike Harris government downloaded it to the city of Toronto, as you may recall. That was bad years, let me tell you, and we need to recover from it.
Some has been said about whether or not you'll be able to convince the premier to do that. Some say that Mr. Tory is in a better position to do that. How do you respond to that?
Let me give you one example, okay, that I know I can work with other levels of government because I have the experience to do so. I've done it in the federal area, and I've done it local in the provincial. I started a pilot project to bring all the services serving children together at one place called First Duty. That then formed the basis of a provincial plan that I rolled out across the city called All Day Kindergarten. Okay? And I have experience in taking an idea and making it happen and making it a reality. I've done that for student nutrition programs, which is now across the province. I've done it on all-day kindergarten, which I started with the 8 pilot projects in this city. I can work with the provincial government because once you have an idea, once you have people behind you, once you bring people together, then it doesn't matter which level of government, which party, they will have to act. And I know that as a fact because I've experienced in feeling that power of the collective. And I know all of you would agree with me that it's time that the provincial government help us out in TTC. And we will go together to Queen's Park and say, please, this is the right thing to do.
The city is considering introducing a low-income TTC pass. Do you support the idea?
Yes, good idea. Well,
can you elaborate?
Yes, I can. Many years ago, there was a study. I remember, I think it was Daily Bread Food Bank came to the committee and said, you know, especially off-peak period, it would be great to have a low-income, a pass for low-income folks. And there was another group that said, you know, it makes sense because then you break the isolation. And only a year and a half ago, I came up with a plan to say to the federal government, and I didn't have enough time to push it yet, to say that people that are looking for work, that are unemployed, should have a half-price TTC pass so that it will cost them less to go and find work, so that it's easier for them to find work. When they find the work, that means it's good for the economy and it's good for TTC because they're paying more taxes. Okay? So now we have to explore how much money it is in terms of operating costs. It might not be cheap at all, and we will need to seek support from the provincial government. But certainly the idea is important and we have to find some ways. And when I was talking about unemployed workers, I was hoping that the EI fund or the federal government can assist in paying, because if they are unemployed, they pay into employment insurance. That employment insurance is really a federal mandate. I was hoping that the funds could be transferred from the federal government so that we can bring two levels of government together to give folks that are not working or people that are low income a hand.
On a similar note, students are paying 2 and sometimes 3 passes because they have to travel across different transit systems to get to school. How would you remedy that? How would you remedy that situation?
I believe that students are paying too much for public transit. And when I was a school trustee, I worked hard to make sure that students, high school students, get a Metro pass. And we got it. And then when I became a city councillor, I worked together for, yes, it was quite an old campaign, but yes, it's important. Yeah, that was in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'm old. And And then when I got into city council, I said, university students needs a pass that is cheaper because you're studying. You're not earning much money at all. So working together with the university and the Ryerson and all the student unions, got a pass. But GO Transit needs to be part of the plan. We need to integrate the fares. If not, you're going to pay GO Transit, and then you have to pay TDC. That's not fair. You need to integrate it. So I'm glad that Metrolink is looking for fare integration. That is, in fact, one of their plans. And on a September 2nd or September 3rd board meeting, which is just a few days ago, that is an area that they want to look at. And it makes total sense. Now that we have this Presto card, it's a lot easier to integrate the fares so that you only pay once, not twice. And it should be cheaper, too, for students.
Moving on to a funding question. What revenue tools do you support, if any?
The downtown relief line that I want to build require engineering studies in the next 4 years. And I want to get started building that subway line. So the engineering cost is about $200 million. So I said, in terms of revenue tool, the land transfer tax, that we would increase the land transfer tax by 1% point to those people that are buying homes that are more than $2 million. I want to make the tax system more progressive. That's my plan for a new revenue tool. It's not new, but it's a revenue tool. Let's make sure it's progressive. That if people that can pay more, pay a little bit more. Okay? That's my principle. And that would generate some funds to begin the studies.
You said yourself when you made that announcement that it would only be about 500 transactions. Do you know how much that would actually raise?
It will raise $25 million. That would be more than enough to cover the carrying cost of a subway for the studies, I'm sorry. And then we need to do the property tax increases. Okay? So the capital cost of any big projects like a subway would be from the property tax. This is just to pay the down payment so that we can start to do the downtown relief line, subway line. In the meantime, we need to go to the provincial and the federal government to say, partner with us. This is bold. This will really start building the future of our city. It's about time we built that downtown subway relief line. And that's what we need to do right now. So it is a combination of property taxes and in terms of down payment and the carrying costs, the land transfer tax on houses more than $2 million.
But any revenue tools specifically to build transit itself as opposed to study transit? Like, do you support revenue tools as a concept, or is that something that you're not willing to consider at this time?
I'm willing to consider it, but the thing is that we... that starts with what we have now, okay? Let's start with what we have now, which is property taxes, okay? And by canceling the Scarborough Subway, it's the $1 billion that we don't need to tax for, then we would then turn that around to say to the federal government, we will put this money on the table. We'll put the $1 billion on the table. But you need, you, the provincial and the federal government, needs to come with us. And the first phase of the downtown relief line is about $3.2 billion. They need to commit so that they can put their two-thirds, their one-thirds in also. So together, we can do the downtown relief line, get it started. The subway relief line that we so need. Okay. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, the downtown relief line, right? Okay, you know that Yonge Subway is packed. Well, you try to get on College, you try to get on Dundas, you're packed, right? And the Bloor Danforth line is totally packed too, because all of them is transferring right at the Bloor subway station. the downtown subway relief line, or young subway relief line, whatever you want to call it, envision a subway line along Queen or along King Street, and then it goes up both east and west, up to around Pape on the east side. Now, I am not the transit expert. As to the precise alignment, TDC and Metrolink will come up with the alignment. But the concept is this. New subway lines, it's about time we build some subways so that we relieve the congestions we experience now.
Do you support raising taxes to improve TTC service?
Yes, I do.
Can you elaborate?
Oh, okay. Right now, unfortunately, the city have very little revenue power. You have the land transfer tax, which I said I would increase, right, for homes that are over $2 million. And then there's property taxes. Property tax is the way. It's not very progressive at all because it's not based on how much you can pay. It's based on the value of your home. So a lot of people are house rich and cash poor. That's why I said that I would keep the existing portion of property tax in and around the rate of inflation, okay, which two, three, depends on which year. And then on top of that, right now if you look at your property tax, there's a line that says transit, and that's the extra that's being levied on you for the Scarborough subway line. What I would do is to say that, look, that Scarborough subway makes no sense because all the experts said build the LRT. Let's have that funds to build something that we really need, which is TDC top priority, the subway relief line.
Last question. Maybe not, but will you keep the TTC publicly owned, maintained, and operated?
Yes. That's an easy one.
So no part of Eglinton LRT, for example, you would consider...
Selling?
Not selling, but its operations being privatized like they do in Europe in some jurisdictions?
No, I believe TDC should operate it. Metrolink is building it, so that's not within the city's control. But I believe that TDC has the expertise to operate it. TDC should operate the streetcars, the buses, the subways, because they have the experience. I trust TTC. Now, people would say, you know, there's always improvement. Absolutely. But the minute you privatize it, then it becomes a monopoly, and the first few years might be okay, and then before long, I think public service is essential. It needs to be remain in public hands. That's always been my position. Now, maybe that's why Mr. Tory didn't want to come, because he probably couldn't answer the question on TDC fares. He couldn't answer the questions about where the subway line, whether he will support the downtown relief line, because he said for 3 months that downtown subway relief line is his top priority. And then now he said it's not. It's not in his map. And he said that, he said all sorts of things, that he doesn't need to tunnel in his Eglinton line, you know, that heavy rail. 12 kilometers of heavy rail from Weston, which is Mount Dennis, all the way over to Mississauga, that somehow he doesn't need to tunnel at all. And then when I stood in front of some houses that's already being built, that unless the train has wings, you can't fly over those houses, then he said, maybe I need to tunnel after all. This is the problem, that when you start making lines up without listening to experts, you get into trouble. That's probably why he won't come in front of you to answer your questions.
Maybe he sees the Smart Track proposal as, well, some might see the Smart Track proposal as a first step in sort of a more regional integrated transit system in which the TTC is absorbed by Metrolinx. Do you have any thoughts on that subject?
Yes, I do have thoughts about that.
Would you
elaborate? I absolutely support GO train electrification. In fact, I mentioned it, I talked about it, I spoke up in the House of Commons about electrifying our trains. I moved motions when I was the vice chair of the Federal Transport Committee to talk about electric trains. In this day and age, diesel trains makes no sense, okay? So electrifying trains is a top priority. But hang on, GO Train, last time I checked, belongs to the province of Ontario. You don't need a mayor to come in and say that, oh, well, you know, electrifying GO is the top priority. Well, the province is already saying that's what they're going to do, right? That's what Mr. Tory's scheme is all about, electrifying GO. Okay, but he's not running for the Premier of Ontario anymore. maybe there's some flashback there, eh? I don't know. But so I think it's important that we do fair integration between GO and TDC. It is important to electrify GO so that it would come every 15 minutes or so. It is important that we integrate the service in terms of planning. But I do not support getting TDC to Metrolink, because Metrolink have never had any experience operating public transit in this city. Why should I trust them? Why should I trust them? GO Train is very different. Yes, we need the integration in terms of the system working better together. But the fair integration can just happen. You don't need to say the TDC needs to be taken over by GO Train, by Metrolink. That's not an area I support.
Before I turn questions over to the floor, is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't discussed?
Wheel-trams and making system more accessible. I noticed that on the TDC capital budget, well, let me not talk about the money, I'll get to it. We absolutely need to make the subway station accessible by fixing all the elevators and fixing all the things that needs to be fixed to make it accessible. We need to buy some wheel trans buses. We need to make our system a lot more accessible. There's a plan. It's supposed to be funded in 2014, this year. But because all the money went to the Scarborough subway, there's no money left, according to TDC, to do the easy access, which is making the system accessible for people in wheelchairs. And that's a shame. I think we need to make our system accessible, and we need to begin the process, the funding that would to be able to make the system accessible. And that's one area I think we didn't talk about, but for me is pretty important. Because ultimately, no one should be left behind, whether it's a kid with mom waiting for a bus, or a person who take the brand new streetcar in Spadina, get to the subway station and can't get very far because there's the elevator is not working in some stations. We're leaving people behind. So for me, I think that's not what Toronto is about. Toronto is a city that filled with very generous people. And let's create a city and a government that's more caring and more generous, so we can have a better city for everyone. I just want to say my math, the land transfer tax is 1 percentage point of 2 million. It's actually 20 million, not 25.
Okay.
My apology.
It's okay.
Yeah, 1 percentage point, that's obvious. 20 million.
Hi, thank you. I have I guess a two-part related question. Two-part related question, and then a comment along the way, but I'll keep it very short. I'm glad you mentioned the T word today, taxation. It feels to me, with all due respect, that word has been absent from your campaign, and not just yours, but all the candidates, particularly the other two candidates. So I'm glad to see that maybe with a more sympathetic audience you are talking about taxes, because it seems to me that the only way to fund a proper transit system here is through not just piddly tax tools, but a proper general taxation, corporate taxation. That's the only way. And it seems to me that you have some tools at the city level, but the state needs to play a proper role here if we are to get an ambitious transit system. I, for one, am ready to pay as long as we get a really good transit system, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one here who feels that way. And it seems to me that leaders such as you, but also at the provincial level, need to not pander to what they think we want, which is no taxation. That's the kind of neoliberal dream. Many of us are ready to pay if we get a proper system, and it seems to me our politicians are cowardly for not going there. So that's my first question. And the second question, a related question, is what about the private sector? It seems to me that it is completely AWOL on the whole public transit issue. I'm with you on keeping it a public system, but the private sector has a lot to gain, and now more and more studies talk about how much productivity is lost with going back and forth to work, the problem of gridlock. What is your solution to that, getting the private sector involved and yet keeping it a public system?
Well, actually, the Toronto Region Board of Trade said that they support the Scarborough LRT. They're very, very clear on the importance of financial tools. They are very clear about that if we want better public transit, we need to invest now. So I wouldn't say that they haven't joined in to talk about the importance of investment. Speaking about investment, I'm honest to tell you that if you want better public transit, you need to invest now. Okay? Whereas Mr. Tory and Mr. Ford have this scheme. It's called Tax Incremental Financing, TIF, not the movie festival. And it's a scheme that says you don't have to pay now. We will borrow all this money. And then later on, many years later, then the development will come, and therefore they will generate money. And from there, you'll pay back that big debt that we have. Guess what? The California study said, hey, it doesn't work. 89% of all the municipalities have tried it, didn't work. And it didn't work for New York. For the $10 that they expect, they only got $1 out of it. So New York is left with a huge debt. And you know what that means? Massive property tax increases. Mr. Ford has this scheme. It didn't work for him for 4 years. Mr. Tory is now relying on the same scheme to fund his one-track, slippery track. That's a good way to call it. Slippery track to nowhere. That's how he plans to fund for it. You know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And I've recently just called it. Mr. Tory have gone from faith-based school funding to faith-based transit funding. Sounds about the same.
Yeah. Okay, so just a reminder for folks to keep their questions brief and concise so we can include as many as possible. After that, I'll pass it here.
Yes, I have a point of clarification that would relate to the campaign in Scarborough, and perhaps you can comment on it, and that is it's really important to understand that the old Scarborough RT is not light rail.
That's right.
The old Scarborough RT was purchased magnetic levitation technology, which didn't work, and it has an electric rail, just like the subway, so it has to be separated, either above grade or tunneled, so it's almost as expensive as subway. It doesn't have the flexibility that light rail has. So it's really important for the people of Scarborough to understand that the RT is not an example. It's a poor technology that is best scrapped in this case. So perhaps you can comment.
Thank you. How many engineers are out here? Wow, great. Okay, you know what? I rely on you folks, the engineers, to help me to tell friends in Scarborough why LRT is not a streetcar, why the existing Scarborough RT is not like rail. Okay? You are the engineers. I'm not. So help me out, folks. Okay? Thank you. I think that was just a rhetorical question.
Next, please.
Question. Come on down and sit in the front if you want, so we can hear you better.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Hi, Olivia. I just wanted to point out something. With accessible transit, it's not just an issue of kindness, and it's not just an issue of the physical access. I don't know if you're aware, but for the past 4 years, we actually had to do a lot of fighting with the city itself in terms of accessible transit. Ford tried first to cut the Disability Issues Committee, and when he found out he couldn't do that, he talked about trying to cut Wheel-Trans, and when he couldn't do that, he decided to cut funding out of the pockets of TTC taxi drivers that drive for Wheel-Trans, and now that he can't do that, they're saying they can't make the TTC accessible at all. It's not just an issue of kindness, it's how we get around every day. I would say that a greater majority of people with disabilities use the transit system than drive, because for the majority of us, it's the only form of transit we have in the city, and it's why a great many of us choose to live here. So I'm just wondering how you plan on initiating that cultural shift that so many of us have been trying to fight for the last 4 years and are still fighting for.
Good question. I didn't hear your last line. You're right, it's not about kindness. It's about equality. It's about fairness, right? That's what it is. It's about fairness, equality, it's about rights. Your question specifically, though, is would I didn't hear the last line that, pardon? Oh, the cultural shift. I was lucky enough that I got on the first train that the Spadina streetcar. I got on that new streetcar that have, it's the first time someone on wheelchair can use that new streetcar. And I noticed the pride of the TDC senior officials, because it was people like yourself and others that helped design to make sure that streetcar design worked for people on wheelchair. And I sense that pride of finally making, for TDC officials, the staff, saying, wow, it actually works for people that have mobility issues. I think we need to get that sense of pride to as many of the TDC staff, as many of the counselors, the commissioners, so they understand that it is not about kindness. It's about equality. It's about good service. It's about fairness. It's about respect. Then I think there will be a cultural shift.
Hi. I really appreciate hearing about your plans to activate quick change to the TTC service in terms of putting buses on immediately and then also having a longer-term vision. Can you comment about the amount of redundancy that would be built into that screen? Will it be a grid so that you have more than one option to get from place A to place B, which is a big problem in our system and has hence the need for a relief line? Additionally, can you comment on your willingness to look at more radical funding options in terms of potentially it's a gas tax, congestion charging, something to get Toronto moving more significantly? When London implemented its congestion charging, the mayor put his neck on the line and it was going to be chopped off if it didn't work. And what's resulted is that He has, you know, the next mayor has taken it even further, given more dedicated bus lanes. People are moving faster, more bike lanes, giving more options in terms of modality and more options for people to get around faster. And the one thing that I think is missing from the conversation on transit is that if transit moves better, if people are moving faster, then the people who insist on using their cars, who want to be in their cars, will also move faster. People in London who are in their cars are moving faster too. It's costing them a bit more money, but time is money too. And overall, that city is working way better than it did 15 years ago.
Yes, I know the story of Ken Lexington, the red can, and the congestion charge. I think that's the first step. We should at least get the taxes we are already paying, gas tax we're already paying to the federal government back. Right now, every liter that we pump gas, we pay 10 cents to the federal government. We only get 5 cents of it back. I want the other 5 cents back to the city of Toronto. And that's $2 billion across the country, okay? And 10% of it would come to Toronto. That's a good start. And when I was a member of parliament, I made sure that gas tax are indexed so that it would grow with inflation. Finally got it done before I left House of Commons, left Ottawa. So it's now indexed. So we'll get a few more millions as the inflation creeps up, then we... that money, the $2 billion transfer, are growing. So absolutely, we need other funding sources. I will certainly work with folks here, other levels of government, to make that happen. But thank you for those ideas. Yes.
That was Olivia Chow speaking at an event organized by the Ryerson Student Union and the TTC Riders on September 15th at Ryerson University in Toronto. You've been listening to Needs No Introduction, fresh ideas from speakers of note. Needs No Introduction is a production of the Rabble Podcast Network. You can hear more podcasts by going to www.rabble.ca and clicking on podcasts. I'm Victoria Fenner. Thanks for listening.